I'm looking out my window right now, and it's about, I think, 15 degrees Fahrenheit, whatever that is, 9, 10 degrees, minus 9 or 10 degrees Celsius, and foggy. And it's making the coolest frost everywhere on the trees. But, the point is this: in the middle of the winter, you just think, will summer ever get here? But you know that it will, because it always does, because it is faithful. And that is our topic today, friends. Today, we are going to talk about faithfulness. Welcome to the Now's the Time podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Succo, and this is season 3, episode 2, coming to you from a pretty chilly Odessa, Ukraine right now. We don't get super, super cold here, but definitely get freezing weather in January. And today, friends, I'm excited to share with you a guest, an interview with someone who really blessed me this last year. Had the privilege of getting to know him, with someone who I consider to be an example of faithfulness. And I would like to be as faithful as him in my life and my ministry. And his name is Stuart Briscoe. You may have heard of him, you may have not. He has written somewhere around 50 books and published them. He is from England, but he pastored in the States for about 30 years. And I had the privilege of getting to know him this last year. We did a conference with him here in Ukraine. And when I found out how long he had been serving the Lord, I had just thought, I need to talk to this guy. And, I encourage you, when you come across someone, when you come across a Christian, especially that has exemplified certain godly characteristics, especially over a long period of time, get to know that person. Dig deep, ask them questions, because that's just, those are, that's jewels. The Proverbs talk about that. Those are the kinds of jewels, the kinds of treasure we need to seek. That is, you cannot buy that. So anyway, I want to share with you that interview with Stuart Briscoe here in a few minutes. And I think that it will bless you as he talks about faithfulness. He started preaching when he was 17 years old, and he's 86 now. So that is 69 years. And what an amazing, what, I mean, he's okay, I just, yeah, he's pretty cool for 86. Anyway, so we'll get to that in a few minutes, the interview with Stuart Briscoe. Right now, I want to share with you just a couple of updates. I didn't really get to do that in the last episode, until the very end. And so I'll just kind of let you know briefly what's going on. Here, as I said, we are in Odessa, Ukraine. It is winter here. We had a great Christmas outreach with our church, and things just get kind of crazy here between like December, around 29th, 30th, and all the way to the middle of January. In fact, today's January 20th. Yesterday, January 19th, was sort of like the last holiday of the holiday season, and that is Krishenia, the baptism. And so traditionally in the Orthodox Church, people go and they baptize themselves. They don't the priests get a little easier. They don't have to go and baptize people. People baptize themselves, and they baptize themselves like, in the sea or in a lake. They have to cut a hole in the ice, and it's And so a lot of people kind of look at it, so almost like, like a polar bear swim or something. People go every year and get baptized. So anyway, yesterday is sort of our last holiday, and so now we're hopefully getting back to normal life. But great outreach with our church. Weather turned out okay, pretty cold, but wonderful and sunny for that. Also, we've started up our ministry with the soldiers again, and I was out there this past Sunday with our soldiers and we're talking about the Reformation, actually, and talked about what true repentance is, because I encourage you, read Martin Luther's 95 Theses, and he starts with the idea of repentance. And maybe I should do a podcast on the whole 95 Theses, and just for some really, really interesting stuff there. So anyway, starting up our ministry with the soldiers again, appreciate your prayers. We're going out there every Sunday to the Army base, ministering to, these are guys that have, most of them, like 95% of them are, have been drafted. So they're kind of, you know, they're not there necessarily by choice. And they're young, you know, I mean, they're missing their family, missing their mom's cooking and stuff. So it is a wonderful opportunity to be able to just get to know them and to share the gospel with them, because not only are they young and missing their mom's cooking, but they're probably going to be sent off to the front lines of the war very soon. So appreciate your prayers as we minister to these soldiers. Appreciate your prayers that God would work in their hearts. These guys are mainly people, you know, unbelievers that did not come to church before. Let's see. We also had our team meetings here recently. Our ABWE team did planning for the year. That was wonderful. And coming up, let's see, two things I want to mention. One is here just very shortly, I'm going to be going to Budapest, Hungary, to be teaching what we call Roots of Faith. I did the Old Testament back in November, and now I'm going to be teaching the New Testament with a team teaching, with a group of teachers. And it's 5 days, and we go through 50 stories from the New Testament. So appreciate your prayers for that. I think that's February 6th through the 10th. We're going to be teaching that in Budapest, Hungary. And then also the following month, a really exciting event coming up. We're doing something called, we're calling it Mission to the Family. And we're going to do a whole conference on basically how to effectively share the gospel with your family. What we realized is that more often than not, family members are extremely crucial, play a huge role in evangelism. And sometimes we forget that. And so we want to talk about how do you share the gospel with someone that knows you well, someone that lives with you, someone that might know your problems, someone that might be, you know, really turned off by your problems. How do you share the gospel with that kind of a person? And so we're going to be bringing in a couple of speakers, and I'm going to speak also, and we're going to be talking about, you know, how to share the gospel with your children, with your spouse, with your parents. And so that is March 25th, and appreciate your prayers as we prepare for that and get ready for that, because that's going to be just outside of Kyiv. We're doing that conference in a church up there. And, you know, I really hope, and my prayer is that this would be something that would be useful and helpful to people who come, so that they can really go and apply these things afterwards. And also, we're going to be doing all of that on video and making sure that we get it out online, because we might have, you know, 150 people at the conference, but if we can record it on video and get it out on our website and online and everything, we might reach thousands of more people in that way. And so that's our desire. So appreciate your prayer for those two things, teaching in Budapest and the conference coming up, Mission to the Family in March. All right, let's get to this interview with Stuart Briscoe. And by the way, I sat down with him at our pastor's conference this last fall. And so it's just, I hadn't had time to get to that interview yet. If you want to see the interview, I will have it in the show notes for this episode. It is season 3, episode 2. And so you can watch the video there. And I'll also have it up on our Facebook page, the Now is the Time podcast Facebook page. And so if you catch the links there, you can see it on our Facebook page as well. Okay, let's get to an interview with Stuart Briscoe on faithfulness.
Friends, we are here in Bela Tserkov, and this is ending our second day of our pastor's conference, and I have Stuart Briscoe here, who's been one of our main speakers, and I wanted to talk with him a little bit about faithfulness in ministry. So, Stuart, it's nice to have you here, and you are, how old are you? Tell me.
There's no secret, Caleb. I had my 86th birthday here yesterday.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And probably your only birthday you've celebrated in Ukraine, as I understand.
That's right.
Okay. So I want to hear from you a little bit. You've been in ministry for longer than probably most or all of the people in this room. How many years have you been in ministry?
Well,
tell a little bit about that.
I preached my first sermon as a teenager when I was 17. So that's almost 70 years. But I left the business world when I was 29 to devote myself to youth ministry. And so I don't know how long that is. It's a long time.
Okay, well, that's a long time. Let me ask you then, your ministry has been basically a pastoral ministry over these years. Has there been other main things that you've been involved in?
Yes, I started out in itinerant youth ministry for 11 years. And then I was a pastor of a church in America for 30 years. And then for the last 16 years, since I stepped aside as pastor, my wife and I have been invited to stay on the staff of the church, but we have a commission that makes us available to the church worldwide. And so we travel wherever we're invited to go just to minister to the people there.
Well, we're thankful to the church that they allowed you to come here. Let me ask you then, as you think about your younger years in ministry, were there a couple of things, a couple of practices that you think now, as you look back on it, helped you to remain faithful in ministry for so many years?
Well, the thing more than anything else was I kept my mind rooted in God's Word. I've always been an avid reader, and from my early days, I've been an avid reader and student of Scripture. And being rooted in God's Word meant that I was rooted in an understanding of the faithfulness of God. And this idea of the faithfulness of God became foundational to my life. What else could I rely on? What else was certain? What other North Star was there for me to steer by than this fact that God is faithful? And if God is faithful and is calling people to himself, then it would seem to me he's calling people to be faithful to him as well. Well, the problem, of course, is that we're fallen individuals. So the second thing was that I was rooted in God's Word from the earlier days, but also I learned in my late teens and early 20s about the risen Christ indwelling the believer in the person of the Holy Spirit, and that he equips us for all that he calls us to. And so I look at the Word of God as being that which taught me the faithfulness of God and called me to faithfulness. I look to the indwelling Spirit to be the one who's given me the desire for this and has empowered me to live in obedience to what he called me to do.
Has there ever been a time when you felt like you just wanted to leave ministry?
There have been times when I've become discouraged, yes. I don't think I could point to a time when I wanted to get out of ministry, but there've certainly been times that were discouraging. But I had 30 wonderful years pastoring a church, and I was so blessed in that church because there was a sort of love relationship between pastor and people and people and pastor. And not all pastors experience that. And I have a great heart for hurting pastors and for struggling congregations. But the thing that I would have to say about this is that Scripture basically says that he that refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And I found that people, rather than wearing me out, tend to refresh me. They energize me. Yes.
Well, let me ask you about that though a little bit too. There is a tendency, or there is an opportunity to be burned out in ministry,
yes.
And I've seen pastors that have been burned out, and it's sad to see. What kind of advice would you give to someone, or maybe there were some things that you did regular in your own life to make sure that, you have to get rest sometime.
Sure.
You did take a nap this afternoon, right?
Yes, I did.
So maybe you have some advice concerning burnout in ministry.
Well, you've blown my cover about the nap I took this afternoon. But I have to say, that is something I've decided to do since I was in my 80s. now, I'm not suggesting you're not allowed to have a nap until you're in your 80s.
I think when you're 86, you're allowed to have as many naps as you want. Yeah. But
but some people will bring it up in public. Well, that is it, May. Yes, you know, I find that some people are wound more tightly than other people are. My wife is, for instance, she is a much more intense person than I am, as far as personality and temperament is concerned. She tires more quickly than I do. I tend to have a more relaxed approach to life. And this means that I don't burn up as much emotional energy as other people do. Now, there's an upside and a downside to both those things. Jill can get far too intense and worry about things that are none of her business. I am so relaxed, I don't concern myself about things I should concern myself about. I'm not advocating either. But I do believe that temperamentally, some people wear out quicker than others. I think another thing I found, that a pastor who is committed to the systematic exposition of God's word does not wear out as quickly as somebody who just teaches topically.
Okay.
One of the reasons for that is this: if you're preaching topically, you sometimes spend most of the week worrying about what topic to preach about,
right.
And that's wearing,
right.
You see. Whereas if you have a commitment to a systematic unfolding of Scripture, you know exactly where you're going to go, and you can be preparing actually weeks in advance. It's less wearing. I think also people, of course, can be tiring, and they can be very draining. Jesus found that. The woman who touched the hem of his garment, he knew that power had drained out of him. And so we need to take a break. And we need to, some of us need to have very specific times of rest. Others can snatch it when it's available. I tend to fit into the latter category, but I can relax very quickly. I can relax very easily. I can switch off as quickly as I can switch on. Jill can't, you see, and so we have to structure things more for her.
Okay. And a last question: what one or two pieces of advice that you would give to a young minister, a young pastor who's just getting his feet wet? What are one or two pieces of advice?
Can I give three?
Yes, you can give three.
There always has to be three. It's something to do with the Trinity, I think. The advice I give, that I've tried to follow myself and I try to give to young people whenever they ask me, is this: preach the word, love the people, and pray that the Spirit moves. And I always tell young people, you do those three things, you'll be fine. Preach the word, love the people, and pray that the Spirit moves. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, friends, there we go. That was the interview with Stuart Briscoe. Wasn't that great? I've listened to that several times since then, and picked up on several things that he said there. One thing that he said there early on that really struck me was how he thought that what helped him to remain faithful was staying rooted in God's word. And how true that is, that when you are rooted in God's word, you cannot help but notice the emphasis throughout scripture on the faithfulness of God. I mean, it comes out nearly in every corner of scripture. God is faithful. And I think that that's something that is helpful for us to remember, even just as we're reading God's word, to be on the lookout for that idea of faithfulness. I know that one of the things that I often share when I talk with people about Bible reading is that as you read your Bible, ask yourself the question, what is this passage telling me about who God is? And obviously there are some very overt passages that simply talk about God's faithfulness, but we also just see it in his dealing with mankind. And the interesting thing is that we often think of faithfulness as a very positive thing, but when we talk about the faithfulness of God, it is both a wonderful thing for us, and it can be a scary thing for us. So why do I say that? Because the faithfulness of God tells us that if he promises us that he will take care of us, he will take care of us, right? But it also promises us that if we choose to live in sin and ignore him, he's also going to take care of that, and he's going to punish us. That's also part of his faithfulness, his keeping his justice, keeping his word. And overall, I mean, here, let me share with you one passage, Deuteronomy 7, 8, and 9. Because the Lord loved you, and because he kept the oath that he swore to your fathers, the Lord has caused you to go out with a strong hand, talking about going out from Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slaves, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Because of this, know that Jehovah your God, he is God, the faithful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to those who love him and to those who keep his commands to 1,000 generations. That is the faithfulness of God. And Moses wanted to communicate that vital truth to the Israelites as they entered the promised land. Do not forget how faithful your God is. And the idea of that faithfulness comes down to really, really simple things. God said it, he did it, he'll do it again. God said it, he did it, he'll do it again. Okay? God doesn't change. And so what I like is that when we come to the New Testament, you know, like for instance, Paul tells Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's his nature. That is who he is. And so we have such a wonderful teaching and evidence from God's dealing with man of how faithful he is. And that faithfulness really boils down to its honesty, its truthfulness. Like I said, if God said it, he did it, and he'll do it again, okay? It is making sure that when we talk about it in our own lives, faithfulness must include this idea of being true to our word. If I said I'm going to do it, I will do it. That's faithfulness. Now, I understand that there can be circumstances completely out of our control, but most of the time, or lots of the time, the circumstances are in our control. So when we say things, we have to do them. That's what faithfulness is. And another aspect there too, when we talk about our faithfulness, I think that's very important to remember, is that our faithfulness is, can't look upon the outward circumstances too much. Why are we faithful? We are faithful because we believe. We believe that what we are doing is right. Now, if we believe that what we're doing is right, we might not always see immediate results. It might be difficult for us to do, but we do it anyway. We stay faithful because we know it's right, because we believe it's right, because God said it was right. And so faithfulness is really about doing the right thing all the time, no matter the circumstances, for a really long time, despite the fact that it may be difficult, despite the fact that others might tell us not to do it, despite the fact that we might be tired, despite the fact that there might be something easier or funner to do. We do the right thing, despite the circumstances, all the time, for a really long time. Because we believe God, we trust Him, that if He said, this is how you need to behave, this is what you need to do, then if we do it, in the end, there will be some sort of a blessing. And another verse, I think, that really speaks to this, that I like, Proverbs talks a lot about faithfulness, but Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. And here's the problem. I think one of the things that keeps us from being faithful is that we want to choose something that gives immediate reward, riches. And so often we're not faithful when we just think, this is too hard. I need something that will give me reward right now. Give me something easier, more entertaining, more exciting, whatever it happens to be. But when we do that, we exchange those true blessings for temporary blessings. And then, you know, finally, I think we need to remember also Jesus, his parables. He talked a lot about faithfulness also in his parables. Remember the parable about the wise manager? And it says, I think it's Luke chapter 12. Yeah, Luke, let's see, let me find it here. Luke 12:42 says, and the Lord said, who then is faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So the idea here is that God gave us a task to do. We need to remain in that task as long as God gives us opportunity. We're not allowed to just sort of veer off, to just sort of retire from the work of the ministry. We're not. We may retire from our income, but we need to stay faithful to what God has called us to do. Friends, I hope that was encouraging to you. And faithfulness is something that we all need. Faithfulness is something that if we can remain faithful to God, there will be true blessings in our lives. Well, friends, that's it for this episode of Now is the Time. And hope you take a little time to listen and then share. If you want to check it out on iTunes, the links are all there on the show notes for this episode. Just go to sugofamily.org, click on the podcast. And also, if you want to just connect with us, would love to hear from you. Send me a note at caleb@sugofamily.org or go to our website. There's all kinds of options how you can connect with us on Facebook or Twitter or wherever you want to connect. But always love hearing from you, love hearing your feedback. And, of course, we appreciate your support. We are here only through the gracious and sacrificial support of God's people who give and help us to be able to preach the gospel in Ukraine and help strengthen churches here so that we can bring God's kingdom a little bit closer, so we can enlarge the boundaries of God's kingdom. And what a privilege it is for us to do that. We love it. There's nothing greater that we would do but to preach the glories of our God and King and to see others come into the kingdom so that they can join us in worshiping a loving and kind and most glorious God. So if you want to support us in that task, also you'll find information at sukofamily.org. Click on the support link up at the top, and we would love to have you on the team. All right, friends, that's it for now. Blessings. May you remain faithful to God.